నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. Oh, my Lord, Shri Krishna, son of Vasudev, oh, all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada and his dedicated servants, Canto 10, the Sumambonam, Krishna's smiling face, Chapter 59, the killing of the demon Naraka, today's text, 31. Tasyat bhajoyam tavapada pankajam. Tasyat bhajoyam tavapada pankajam. Bhitak prapannarti haropasaditaha. Bhitak prapannarti haropasaditaha. Tatpalayainam kuruhasta pankajam. Tatpalayainam kuruhasta pankajam. Shirasya musya kila kalma shapaham. Shirasya musya kila kalma shapaham. Tasyatmajoyam tavapada pankajam. Bhitak prapannarti haropasaditaha. Tatpalayainam kuruhasta pankajam. Shirasya musya kila kalma shapaham. Chant. Ladies,
Srila Prabhupada
word for word, tasya, of him, bhomasur, atbajaha, son, ayam, this, tava, your, pada, feet, pankajam, lotus-like, bhitaha, afraid, prapanna, of those who take shelter, arti, the distress, hara, O you who remove, upasaditaha, has approached, tat, therefore, palaya, please protect, enam, him, kuru, place, hastapankajam, your lotus hand, shirasi, on the head, amusha, his, akila, all, kalmasha, sins, apaham, which eradicates. Translation, this is Bhumi Devi, the earth goddess, continuing to express herself to the Lord Krishna. Translation, here is the son of Bhomasur. This is her son. And then Bhomasur was her son, and now here's the grandson. Here is the son of Bhomasur, frightened. He is approaching your lotus feet. Since you remove the distress of all who seek refuge in you, please protect him. Place your lotus hand, which dispels all sins, upon his head. Please repeat. Here is the son of Bhomasur. Frightened, he is approaching your lotus feet. Since you remove the distress of all who seek refuge in you, please protect him. Place your lotus hand, which dispels all sins, upon his head. Now, the purport is shorter than the translation, but we're fearlessly going to try to give a class anyway. Srila Prabhupada's, or the servants of Srila Prabhupada's, one-line purport. Here, the earth goddess seeks protection for her grandson, who has been frightened by all the terribly violent events that just took place. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So here, Bhumi Devi, the earth goddess, is evincing, she's manifesting pure devotion. Krishna has just beheaded her son, Bhomasur. There's beheadings in the news a lot these days with the so-called Islamic State. And when they do it, you know, the whole world is aghast and outraged and condemns them in the worst possible words. When Krishna beheads, and Krishna does a lot of beheadings when you think about it. Shishupal, in this Leela, he's beheaded Mura demon, and now he just beheaded Bhomasur. When Krishna beheads, he's worshipped. It's amazing. once upon a time, long ago, and not too far away in Pakistan, one of my godbrothers was preaching kind of, low-key, very low-key in Pakistan, right around the time of the Bangladesh War, actually. And he was arrested. And the police chief was making fun of him in the jail. He was saying, "You're worshiping Krishna? I know all about this Krishna. He's a big thief. He steals others' wives. He steals butter." And so the devotee just turned it right around, as Prabhupada would often do. The old saying is, the best defense is a good offense. He said, "Yes, isn't it great? And when Krishna does it, he's worshipable. And when we do it, we're put in jail." So this is Krishna. He's just beheaded Bhaumasura. And his mother, Mother Earth, the Earth Goddess, she's such a devotee that she's in ecstasy. She's not holding a world press conference and condemning the beheader in the worst possible terms. No, she's ecstatically saying again, "Here is the son of Bhaumasura." So Bhaumasura is her son, and then here's the son of Bhaumasura. So it's her grandson. "Frightened, he is approaching your lotus feet. Since you remove the distress of all who seek refuge in you." Krishna just beheaded her son. And she's saying, "You remove the distress of all those who seek refuge in you. Please protect him," she's saying to the beheader of her son. "Please protect him. Your lotus hand, which dispels all sins. Place your lotus hand, which dispels all sins, upon his head." So it's really all about protection. And when I read this verse, and then even shorter purport, I was thinking of how protection is one of the major themes in the Bhagavatam. It's one of the 10 major topics. In fact, there's a whole canto devoted to it. 6th canto, Poshanam, protection. And the theme was triggered by, at the end of the 5th canto, you know, first there's Sarga and then Visarga and the description of the planetary systems. And then who remembers, raise your hand if you remember, how the 5th canto ends up. Yeah. His description of it finally ends up in hell, which is a big hint about where we've chosen to come. We've chosen to come to this underworld. We hear, you know, underworld is a code word for the criminal world, right, in our material world. But the whole place. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "Tava itcha maya kar srije karagar. O youthful prince of Braja," the Thakur sings, "by your will, Maya has created the prison house of this material world." We need protection, first of all, from our own desires, our own criminal desires. We've foolishly misused our free will. So, here we are in the material world. That's why when we come to Krishna's temple, it's such an oasis. Usually when I'm traveling around the world, you may have heard, and I'm teaching this Founder Acharya series. And one of the things I do when I come into a temple, the next morning I look for a nice, vigorous, hopefully wholesome, scenic japa walk. But there really isn't such a creature around here. I went out to the beach. It's a rather shabby strip. And, you know, then I'm trying to walk on the sidewalk, and then there's all these clusters of, just young men loitering with nothing to do, the kind of men you read about in the papers later because of nothing to do. So the idle brain's a devil's workshop, right? So I quickly realized this is the best place to chant japa, right here in the temple. So we need protection in the material world. Wow. Yeah, and the sixth canon was all about that. Think of the first three chapters. The Prabhupada lectured so much on the history of Ajamil. And that's leading off the canto. And it's all about the ultimate protection afforded by the holy name. Bhagavatam 1.1.14. Apanak sangsriting gorang yannama vivasho grinan tataksadyo vimucheta yad bibheti svayam bhayam. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even once chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is feared by fear personified. So much protection in the holy name. And that's Krishna, you know. Krishna the beheader, whether he's beheading us or he's kissing us, it's all good. You know, on the street, and I don't know what they say in India, but in America they're always saying to us on the street, it's all good, it's all good. Trying to jump up to the Uttam platform from the street. Yeah, it is all good. Prabodhananda Saraswati also said, Vishvam Purnam Sukhayate. The whole world appears to be a happy place. That same world that Krishna certifies as Dukalayam Ashashvatam. It's all good when we actually see the hand of Krishna everywhere, in everything, at every situation. Well, we're not, you know, afflicted by duality anymore. That's when it's all good. So, yeah, Poshanam. So, Ajamil, you know, we know the story. He was a fine and dutiful Brahmin, but then he had some, you know, purva samskaras. Yeah, samskaras. Sometimes people of my generation, we joke kind of with black humor. Yeah, in Vedic culture, they have samskaras. Prabhus, we have some scars. Memories of previous bad activities. So, yeah, he was a fine and dutiful Brahmin, worship Shalagram Shila, and then he, you know, got distracted for his whole life. Producing kids even in his 80s. How old was Narayan? He was just a toddler and he was 88 years old or something, Ajamil. But Krishna, he just takes the best part of us. Thank Krishna. Bhavagrahi Janardana. He just takes the best. That's a big hint of how we should be. I'm very good at seizing upon the worst. You know? Looking at someone and thinking, why is he so lusty? Why is he so angry? Why is he so greedy? Why? Takes one to know one. It's in me, I can't face it, so what I can't face in myself, I tolerate even less in you, right? Because I can't face it in myself, therefore I'm always criticizing, right? Watch your mind do that. Catch it. It's a real kid. So Ajamil, he named, by Krishna's grace, he named that last son Narayan, and then he was calling Narayan, and then because of his past good stuff, good activities, he remembered Narayan. At first it was just his son, but then by the Lord's grace, he remembered. Matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. This is Krishna. He's helping us. Prabhupada used to say, he wants us back more than we want to go back. That's the nature of a parent, right? Imagine if your child runs away, God forbid, if your child runs away, and then you put up, do they do this in India? They put up posters. Have you seen so-and-so? Have you seen my cat? Have you seen my dog? Have you seen my child? If so, call this number, reward. This is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. And I declare, what is it? He says, for one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end he comes back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. This is Krishna promising. He's got his reward. If you help me bring back, if you come back and you help me bring back all the runaways, all the rebels without a cause, you're so dear to me. This is how to become dear to Krishna. So that whole sixth canto, it's Poshanam. Yeah, that's the Ajamya Leela. And then the Hungsud Guya prayers, we learn about Daksha's continuing life. Remember Daksha? He was also, got the head of a goat. He was killed, got the head of a goat. And then he became, you know, restored to his original pure consciousness, the Hungsud Guya prayers. And then this whole pastime with Chitraketu, and then became Vritrasur, a great devotee in the body of a demon. And then the question was, how is this? A great devotee and so the whole previous life of Chitraketu was told. And then the Pungsavana Vrata Diti, it's all about protection. We really need protection. So I thought I'd speak a little bit, since I am here on a mission. Founder Acharya focus. About how our Founder Acharya is the foundation of our protection. And there's a big hint about that right in Prabhupada's name. Abhoy. Right? Abhoy Charan. Abhoy Charan Day became Abhoy Charanaravinda Das. The servant of one who is fearless at the lotus feet of Krishna. There's a nice morning walk. Prabhupada's not sure what year, but they were walking in Calcutta, mid-70s sometime. And then they walked right by the Victoria Memorial. Memorial to Queen Victoria, because, of course, India for 200 years was under the boot of the British Raj. And so Prabhupada said, When Prabhupada was born, it was still Queen Victoria was still alive, and then she passed away, and they were building a memorial to Queen Victoria. And Prabhupada said in the morning walk, as they were walking by this huge monument to Queen Victoria, when I was a child, they were building this memorial to Queen Victoria. And when the workers would go home every day, we children, we would climb up on the construction, on the scaffolding, you know. And I used to climb the highest. I would climb way up high on the scaffolding. And so you hear the devotees say, "Oh, Prabhupada, you were so brave." And Prabhupada said, "I must be brave. I'm still brave. Or else, how could I come to your country alone?" And then you hear the devotees say, "Jai Prabhupada." So, yeah. Someone asked me, I was just giving a seminar in Coimbatore, Tamil Nadu. And someone asked, why did Krishna place Prabhupada in the Bowery and the Lower East Side, and he was attacked by a crazy hippie on LSD, and then he suffered so much hardship moving here and there, and, you know, no money and no friends. And so this is as it says in the Shastra, Krishna teaches the world through the devotees. Why did the Pandavas have to go through so much, right? Because Krishna knows how the Pandavas are going to respond to suffering, seeing everything as his mercy, especially Queen Kunti. Oh my God. How to relate to, I wish those calamities would come again and again so that we could see you again and again. So it glorifies the devotee when the devotee is placed into this, because then the devotee responds in a pure devotional way that teaches us how to respond, right? What's that saying? In the material world, pain is mandatory, but suffering is optional. It's how we respond to the pain. Either in the mood of resentment, right? Or in the mood of Tate no kampang sushamikshima. It sees everything as Krishna's mercy. It's just the attitude of gratitude which entitles us.
Bhuktipade sudhaya bhag.
We become, that attitude of gratitude carries us back to Godhead. So none of us, you know, we all have our traumas and our dramas and our crosses to bear and our stories to tell. But who among us in ISKCON can say that we have it any harder than Prabhupada, who manifested an entire spiritual revolution out of nothing, literally, materially speaking, nothing. What was Prabhupada's strategy, right? I was supposed, by my stars and by my palm, I was supposed to be another Birla. So when I met Guru Maharaj, I couldn't just abandon my family and join the mission, although I wanted to, but I thought, okay, I'm supposed to become rich man. Then I'll become rich, and then when the family is, you know, and the children are grown and the business is finished with my accumulated wealth, I'll do the mission. That was Prabhupada's, as we say nowadays, strategic plan. And then Prabhupada said, but Krishna sent me to your country a pauper. That was ultimately worked in his favor. Because when he finally did meet some sincere listeners, it was extraordinary. Here's a person, here's a saint, a living saint and sage, who has the compassion to go to the pits of New York City and preach and suffer all kinds of distress. So just as no one can say, no reader of the Bhagavad Gita can say that we have it any harder than Arjuna, who is being told to kill his friends and relatives, his gurus. No one can say that. That's another, you know, why did Arjuna... No, this is Krishna on purpose. The whole Mahabharata, the whole history of greater India, which means the whole world, it's culminating, climaxing on a battlefield. And everybody's got their ears poised, you know, and then there's two armies facing, and then just Krishna's perfect dramatist. Just when everybody's thinking, what's going to happen? You know, the two armies poised to fight. Time out. And Krishna injects into that drama the medicine of Bhagavad Gita. And no listener can say that they're bringing to the conversation anything tougher than the situation orchestrated by the Lord. Amazing. So, in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in Prabhupada's unique Sangha, he is the foundational shelter. Think of him as the pivot, the pivotal person, the fulcrum around whom all other relationships turn. Parent, child, husband, wife, friend, shiksha, shishya, diksha, shishya, guru, disciple. As much as our founder acharya's life, teachings, mood, and mission are in the center of all those relationships, those are relationships that are very healthy and are eternal. Infinite potential for growth. So what I'll do now is share. Most of you seen this book published last year by our governing body. I have the honor of being on a committee called Srila Prabhupada's Position. And after 6 years of putting Ravindra Swarup Prabhu through his paces, our committee members and the GBC the Siddhanta on Founder Acharya from Guru, Sadhu, Shastra and Vaishnav history was published by the GBC. So I'm going to give you, and if these points challenge you, then I heartily, you know, welcome you to, you can email me, since I've already taught the congregation the Sambandha lessons, 3, and I'm right in the middle of teaching the Brahmacharis, the first 6, which is Sambandha and most of Abhideya. From Kirti Nitai Prabhu, you can get my email address. So if these points provoke your interest, you can write me a letter. And I'll send you the links online where you can see the whole seminar online. Okay. So this is at the very end of the book. Arvindasura Prabhu lists 7 points, 7 benefits, so we can also say 7 protections of deeply understanding our core identity, core relationship, foundational relationship with Prabhupada. The benefits of not only theoretically understanding this, but deeply realizing it. Here we go. 1. This is individual protection and collective protection. Generation after generation will be enabled to receive the special mercy offered by Srila Prabhupada. The path back to Godhead he opened will become ever increasingly traveled. We're not... Do you have Baptists here in India? Baptists? They tend to be very fundamentalist Christians, you know, the only way. Jesus is the... We're not Baptist Krishnas. We don't say, Prabhupada is the way, the light, the truth. No one cometh unto Krishna but by Srila Prabhupada. Hallelujah. Hare Krishna. We don't say that. We don't say Prabhupada's the only way. But we do say, if you make an impartial study, investigation of the Sangha Prabhupada started, you will see that our founder Acharya happens to be a very confidential servant of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why not come aboard his Sangha? He's offering unique, matchless gifts, unique mercy. That's 1. I hope that provoked you. 2. By taking full shelter of Srila Prabhupada as Shiksha Guru in his Vani manifestation, all teachers in ISKCON on various levels of advancement will be able to authentically convey Srila Prabhupada's teaching, real teaching, thus giving proper guidance, shelter, and protection to all. The trigger that moved me to teach this Founder Acharya series is I was teaching Bhagavatam at the Mayapur Institute, Bhakti Bhai Bhav, and I noticed in 2011 especially, this was the semester that was the tipping point for me, that all my students, who could have been my kids or even my grandkids, just because they never met Prabhupada physically, they felt so disconnected from him. So distant. And no matter how much I talked about Vani and Vapu and service and separation and this is the real intimacy and giving myself as an example how in Prabhupada's time I was just scared of Prabhupada and now I feel so much closer to him by trying to follow his instructions. No matter how much I talked like that, they didn't believe it. They just kept looking at me like, oh, you're so lucky, you saw Prabhupada. We're so unlucky, we never saw him. So I thought, wow, this means in a few generations, if this is how everybody thinks, we're going to get further and further away from Prabhupada with each generation. That means in a few generations, no more Hare Krishna movement. Because we're totally on the bodily platform here. No, every generation should get closer to Prabhupada. So, full shelter, not just casual shelter. Life, teachings, mood, mission. That's my mantra. Full shelter. And you know what happens? Then you appreciate your initiating and instructing spiritual masters so much more because you know them. You know the foundation. You know Prabhupada. You know why Guru Maharaj is saying what he's saying. Why he's doing what he's doing. Yeah. Why he's engaging you the way he is. Bringing you closer to Prabhupada. Enriching. Deepening. Enhancing your core identity as a Prabhupada Anuga. Yeah. They're the most important people in your lives. Even if you're initiated by Prabhupada. As I was sharing with the students. Okay, so Prabhupada initiated me on Saturday, July 17th, 1971, in Detroit, Michigan, where they make the cars. That's not what makes me a Prabhupada Anuga. No. That I'm his initiated disciple. No. What makes me a Prabhupada Anuga, how does he live forever? He lives forever by his divine instructions. What makes me a Prabhupada Anuga is that I've been trying to follow his instructions for the last 45 years. We all have that same opportunity to be a Prabhupada Anuga. Okay, number three. Srila Prabhupada's active presence. Active presence. Will secure the unity and integrity of ISKCON. Have you noticed how much diversity we have in ISKCON? I mean, you really see it in Mayapur. When Bhaktivinod Thakur's vision is right before your eyes, with people from Beijing and Santiago and Reykjavik and KwaZulu-Natal and Kankakee, Illinois. I mean, we're all in the same room here, singing Jai Sachinandan Gaura Hari. And we're all bringing our wildly diverse prarabdha karmas. Right? What does this mean in Bengal? Come here. What does it mean in America? Get out of here. What else? What does this mean in India? It could mean 108 things, right? Right? We're not used to that in America. We like this and this. What else? When they go around with the Sunday feast and if they ask you if you want seconds, in India, if you say no, what does the server do? They think you're being polite and humble, right? Oh, no, in America, no thank you, and you move on. In India, you know, we have to sit on our plate to keep from overeating and getting sick or something. This is just body, and this is just, you know, little stuff. What to speak? In America, here's one. In America, we pride ourselves in being very direct. Have you noticed? But in India, that's considered barbaric. Right? Why don't you be a little more indirect, a little subtle? What does it say? The mother teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. You know? If somebody's indirect with me, I think the person's being sneaky. They've got something to hide. It's really a challenge. Right? So, but Srila Prabhupada, he provides the unity amidst our wild diversity. We have diversity coming out of every gate in our body in ISKCON, not just out of our ears, as we say, coming out of our ears. We need more unity. The founder Acharya provides the unity and the protection. Number four, ISKCON's teachings will remain consistent over space and time. As soon as we stop hearing Prabhupada's spoken word and stop reading his written word, we become weird. And we start mixing in all kinds of stuff from other sanghas, from our own scars, some scars. We have to daily bathe our consciousness in Prabhupada's ever-manifest vani. Yeah, that's protection. 5. Srila Prabhupada's realized knowledge, endowing him with his specific potency to spread Krishna consciousness, will not only be preserved, but also developed. You know how Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, cutting across all ethnic, racial, religious, ideological, gender, you name it, generational line. You know how he did it? By being very sensitive to the time he was in, to the place he was in, and the people that he was around. Prabhupada called it time candidate country. One size does not fit all. We have to study how Prabhupada introduced and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. If you have a pen or a paper or an electronic device, make a note of CC Madhya, chapter 23, text 105. Read the verse in purport. Big hint, time, country, candidate. Prabhupada's protecting us from being dogmatic, fanatic, and impersonal. Here's another one while you're at it. Bhagavatam, 4.8.54 purport. Those are my two favorite purports from CC and Bhagavatam. CC Madhya 23.105 and Bhagavatam 4.8.54. We have to understand how to do this, how to preach. And Prabhupada's our best example. 6. His books will remain central to us, for they contain insights and directions that await future development to be realized. Prabhu's, what Prabhupada had a chance to manifest in 12 brief years, circling the globe 14 times. If you look at his, if you become students of his vani, that was just a fraction. What do they say? Tip of the iceberg. What Prabhupada had a time to manifest in Vapu was just a fraction. Prabhupada himself said fully 50% of his work wasn't even touched. The whole proliferation of Daiva Varnashram communities all over the world, which is really when the world's going to take notice, when we show the world a better way to live. Okay, Prabhupada talked about that a lot. He hardly had a chance to even, and we haven't touched it, because it's daunting. It's daunting, including the whole world in the Hare Krishna movement. Okay, point 7. Srila Prabhupada's eyes will always remain the lens through which all future generations see our predecessor acharyas. Yes. We don't live in a vacuum. We're going to hear so many things. We're going to meet so many people. ISKCON's not the only Gaudiya Sangha out there. But if we're really Prabhupada Anugas, guess what? Whatever we hear, whatever we see, whatever we experience, whatever we read, we're going to experience through the lens of Prabhupada's peerless life, teachings, mood, and mission. We see everyone and everything through Prabhupada's eyes. That's a Prabhupada Anuga. As soon as we start to see Prabhupada through others' eyes, we can do that, but guess what? We're in another Sangha. Yeah. I don't want to be in another Sangha. Prabhupada's example and empowerment are unique. So I hope I provoked you with those points into reading this book, www, as George W. Bush used to say, www.founderacharya.com or .org. You can download this PDF. Or maybe do they have hard copies here still? Anyway, you can, okay. Good. Great book. Okay, so we have 5 minutes for Q&A. I never like it when the speaker does that, but now I've done it myself. doesn't leave much time for questions. Any brief questions or comments? Prabhu. It's about protection, especially ended up with our protection, our foundational protection at Prabhupada's lotus feet.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. With passage of time, certain words and context have certain connotations, and we see it nowadays, some purport and some words taken off the context, and then now serious consideration whether we should keep those words so that people can actually understand Prabhupada.
We should as it change is. Those words?
Yeah, should we change, should we keep? This is a discussion going on. How do we understand that? How do we explain it to people?
Okay, and you understand the question? That in Prabhupada's writings, as the language changes, inevitably the semantic impact, how people hear those words, just like it says in CC, Prabhupada wrote in the 1974, mainly he wrote CC in 74, that gaily, Lord Chaitanya and his associates went bathing in the ocean. Does that mean they were all gay? Since Prabhupada wrote that purport, the homosexual community has pretty much garnered the market on the word gay. You can't even say the word gay anymore without having homosexual connotations. What to do? Right? Well, I'm a firm believer that as time goes on, probably not now because, you know, the editing of Prabhupada's books is still such a controversial topic. But I am a firm... To me, it's just common sense that as the language evolves, language is a living thing. Language is not static. I don't know Bengali, but I understand that the Bengali of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is a lot different than the Bengali that's spoken today. Yeah, I'm a firm believer that as the language changes, we're going to have annotated, you know what, annotated editions of Prabhupada's books. Just like I'm from the West, and so the pillars of Western civilization to this day are the King James Bible and Shakespeare. Shakespeare wrote in Elizabethan English. If you try to read Shakespeare with a modern mind, it's going to be very tough unless you read an annotated edition, someone who knew what those words meant back then. So I think it's inevitable we're going to have to do that. That's just my own opinion, and I'm open for... But if we try to just freeze Prabhupada in time, we're going to have problems. And already, I mean, since, let's see, my body is 68, so the language has changed since I was a kid. English. What else? What's another example? Yeah, the way Prabhupada used the language... Prabhupada learned Victorian English, so even the way Prabhupada uses the word envy, the way Prabhupada uses the word envy is in the more original sense of ill will. We use the word envy to mean jealous. You know, if somebody envies somebody, our meanings are usually restricted to jealousy. But envy can just mean enmity. Ill will. If I have envy toward you, I bear you ill will. That's a different, you know. So sometimes even in the time Prabhupada wrote, sometimes people would scratch their heads. But you have to be a little more educated in the language. That's why it's very important that we understand Prabhupada's books with the help of serious, sincere, and here's a big one, reasonable, balanced and mature devotees who can help us understand Prabhupada, as you suggest, in context. Context is so important. Without context, we misunderstand the content because we don't understand the intent. Did you ever notice when Prabhupada would answer a question, either in a letter or on a or in a recording. Prabhupada, he wouldn't just answer the content of people's questions. He would answer their intent, the mentality, the mood, the consciousness behind the question. That's why you get diametrically opposite answers to the same questions in Prabhupada's, you know, vani. Yeah. You got to know. Yeah, there's so many examples. Anyway, it's a big topic, but in my opinion, as time goes on, because language is not... Language is like life. It's always moving. We what do we say in American English? You never step in the same river twice, because it's always flowing, right? So similarly, Prabhupada's words, their intent has to be discerned by serious and sincere followers, so that the content may have to be explained or annotated later, you know, as those words take on new connotations as time passes. Yeah, that's another seminar. Okay, it's getting late. So, Brahmacharis, remember it's 3:30 to 5, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share the glories of our founder, Acharya. I'm scheduled again for, I think it's Saturday. So I will try to share some more Prabhupada, try to work some Prabhupada katha into the verse and purport. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.